Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is brought to you by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Berry.
And we hope wherever you might be in these great United States or around the world, if you will, at any of our 177 military installations around the world and here in the U.S., wherever you might be, we are so pleased that you have decided to join us here on Home and Family Finance. I am your host, Paul Berry, asking that all-important question, are you financially fit? And the truth of the matter is, as you know, as we tell you each week, over half of us are not. We don't have any savings. We don't know what's going to happen in terms of retirement. We just kind of live paycheck to paycheck. And that's not good. And what we're about is to give you the advice and the information that you need to know to better your financial situation so that you can answer yes to the question, am I financially fit? Yes, I am. And how does that feel? It feels really great. It really does. And I talk to you as one of us, one of those who are not. I'm working as hard as I can to get my finances in good shape and to be financially fit so that when I retire, I can enjoy those years and my money doesn't run out before my life does. So all of that is our purpose. Financial literacy is the way to go, folks, and we're going to learn how to be better financial managers and know the rules of the road. Right now, things are happening. Despite the cold weather and the snow and all that stuff, things are happening in the financial market in the United States. There seems to be more of a conviction that we're on the right road, and people who have stayed away from markets and stayed away from this or that are now starting to go out and look, and they're looking at maybe buying a house for the first time or a car or whatever. Today we're going to talk about buying houses because it's probably the biggest investment any of us will ever make. But in order to do so, we ought to make sure we do it the right way. And my first guest is a gentleman who knows all there is to know. He is Sean Marble. He is manager with a company called Monarch Title. So you say, what do you mean title? What is a title company? Well, he's going to tell us all about that and why what you should know and the importance of it. Because once you put down your hard-earned money, you want to make sure you're protected in every way, and that's part of what he does. And he'll be with us to tell us about that in just a second. Now, we also have a young lady coming on. As you know, tax season is here. In just a few weeks, you'll have to file, if you haven't already, your taxes. And there are people out there who would take your money in a skinny minute. They don't care who you are. And they're doing all kinds of bad things. Jocelyn Baird is a content manager for Next Advisor on identity theft, and she's going to join us to talk about what you should know before you file electronically. Cyber hacks and your tax refund check. Not a good combination, so she'll be here as well. But right now we turn our attention to Sean Marble, manager of Monarch Title here in Washington, D.C., or over there. I'm in Virginia, and he's here in studio with us. Welcome to Home and Family Finance.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. You are in the business of how do you describe your business? Tell me if I say, Sean, what do you do? What is a title company? What do you do?
Yeah, sure. Definitely. The role of the title company is essentially to research everything there is to know about the property that you are looking to purchase. So we go back 60 years and search everything that's ever been recorded against the property, who's owned the property in the past, and if there are any open liens or judgments. And we clear those items up. So at the time of settlement, you have a property that's free and clear.
So that's what we mean by clear title.
Correct.
You guys go back, your company and other title companies go through this process of making sure the title is – well, why do I have to do – just forget about it. I'll just take my chances, Sean.
Yeah. So the issue with that is – and this is what some don't realize – is that you can have situations with your title such as open – estate issues in which property was sold or changed hands, and there's still a family member that had some interest in the property and was never paid for that interest. So it's a huge claim, and I've seen it in real life happen where someone two owners removed has had to pay out to a past family member.
So you're buying that property with that person way back there who you don't even know, but they now have an interest in your property.
Exactly.
That's ugly, isn't
it? Exactly.
That
right.
is ugly. Are there different types of title insurance?
Yes, definitely. There are two types of title insurance. One is enhanced or sometimes called an Eagle title insurance policy, and the other is a standard or sometimes called a basic title insurance policy. Both have various protections. The Eagle or enhanced policy, of course, has some added coverage protections, some being which I point to such as forced removal of a structure, if you have an encroachment, say a fence is encroaching on your neighbor's property, any non-permitted building structure that has to be removed, you get that added coverage. And you also, just overall with title insurance, are insured for the entire ownership of the property.
Okay, so let me understand. So I come in and I say I want you to clear my title.
Yes.
I want you to research and do all of this stuff that you're supposed to do, right?
Yes.
And then you will do that, and then you're going to say, we've done it, and we'll even insure that. Is that how? And so I pay you a one-time fee, or how does it work?
Correct. So you pay a one-time premium fee at the time of settlement, and it's based on the purchase price of the home. It covers you for as long as you own the property. The enhanced version will cover you for as long as you are living. So there can be items that can come up even post-settlement after you have owned and transferred the property that you're covered in on the enhanced. But you are insured for your ownership stake in that property so that if anyone was to come about or if there was any misrecorded deeds of trust or mortgages that were not yours, you'd be insured for those.
And when you say I was insured, you guys would take care of it. You pay for it.
Correct. We would file an insurance claim with our underwriter.
Yeah.
And at that point, we would make sure that your interest is protected.
Okay. Title insurance. When we come back, obviously, folks, you shouldn't do this without title insurance. But that's just one of the things you need to know. And when we come back, we'll ask Sean Marble, manager of Monarch Title, the safest way to buy a house. This is Paul Berry. You're listening to Home and Family Finance on Radio America.
We want you to be a part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Or maybe just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
My guest is Sean Marble. He's manager, Monarch Title, Incorporated, a company that happens to be based in Washington, D.C., but there are title companies all across the country that provide the same kind of service. Now, you can buy a house, I suppose. I don't know who'd be silly enough to sell you one without title insurance, but you know, that's not the smart way to do to buy a house. And I think that's the important part here. We live in a world where do-it-yourself is kind of taking over. I mean, we've got the net. We can Google anybody, Sean. We can go anywhere and get information that we want. And sometimes we think we can do these things. Would you advise anybody to buy a house without having a professional help?
Definitely not. I would advocate for anyone looking to purchase a home to work with a realtor because the contract process can be quite daunting, especially if you are in a multi-offer situation and there's several contingencies that need to be addressed. Working with licensed professionals in the industry is very important. You know, the rule of thumb and the way to think about this is as you mentioned, Paul, it's a huge purchase, the largest purchase that many of us will make in our lifetime, and you want to, you know, have it done right. So let the professionals do the appropriate research and negotiate and advocate, you know, for your behalf for that.
Absolutely.
Purchase.
And look, folks, here's what we're talking about. You're making this huge investment of money. And it is worth usually the cost of a broker or a realtor working for you can be anywhere from 3 to 6%, whatever that's generally around. And I know that because I'm a realtor and I'm not selling myself here. My wife is a realtor, so we understand the attraction of saying I don't want to pay 5% or 6%. And by the way, the larger your note or your mortgage, sometimes they'll reduce by a point or two. So nobody's getting stung. But it is so important to have this person who understands the language. And for you, Sean, and your company, it's a lot easier to talk to a professional than it is to talk to a would-be homeowner who has no idea what the heck you do or why it's important.
Exactly. The realtors really deal directly with the title companies to make sure that, you know, all the checks and balances are in place, and leading up to settlement, you know, all the questions that a purchaser or a seller may have. So, you know, we work very hard to work with both sides of the transaction to make sure that the seller is comfortable as well as the purchaser is comfortable with that transaction, because it's something that, you know, we take a lot of pride in at our company. Yeah. And, you know, we take title insurance very seriously. We do not want anyone to have a claim filed. You know, that doesn't look good on us, and we don't want you to have to deal with that as well. So it's something that we work really hard on to make sure the tenancy is correct when you're a purchaser, to make sure that the survey is reviewed so that you can see how your lot line is in relation to a fence or a garage gate that might be in the back. And we do everything that we can to cross all the T's and dot all the I's.
So who do you work for? There's a house that we're purchasing. Does the title company work for the seller, or does the title company work for the buyer?
We actually work for the transaction. We work to ensure that the transaction on both sides is done correctly. So I always let people know that as a title company, we don't represent either side. We represent the clear title, and we represent the fact that all the documents will be correct and the title insurance will be in place. We try not to go either way as far
right.
as representing.
Let me ask that question a different way. Yeah. We're talking with Sean Marvel, who's manager of Monarch Title. Who pays you? Then I will know who you work for.
Well, there are document preparation fees assessed for the seller. A lot of the documents we prepare are primarily for the seller to sign, such as the deed transfer, but the purchaser will pay for the title insurance.
All right, so the purchaser pays the money, but the seller's got to give up some of that for the services.
Exactly.
All right. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. We'll be right back with more. Stay with us. Listening to Radio America, I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. Our program sponsors, the Defense Credit Union Council, DCUC, and CUNA, Credit Union National Association. We thank them both for their continued support of this program dedicated to making all of us smarter consumers and making us answer a positive to the question, are you financially fit? Are you? You know whether you are, and I hope that you are. If there's a topic or subject that you want to discuss, please write to me here, Paul Berry at Radio America, 1100 North Glebe Road, Suite 900, Arlington, Virginia, 22201. Or you may contact me at my website, hffradio.com, and we always love to hear from you. Other folks we love to hear from are our military installations around the world, because we are on the American Forces Radio Network, and the Defense Credit Union Council and its member credit unions believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness and supports the efforts of military saves in their dedication to improving the financial well-being of our troops. Our troops are your sons and daughters, your husbands, your cousins, your nieces, nephews, sons, daughters. Military Saves is a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, support, and encourage military families to save money, to reduce debt, and to build wealth. As part of the Department of Defense's financial readiness campaign, Military Saves acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. Check out its links to useful websites for military families, where they can learn better money management and can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals. Military Saves, set a goal, make a plan, save automatically. Go to militarysaves.org for more information, and please, whether you are in the military or not, take the Savers Pledge today and save money for your future. That's the way it ought to work. My guest is Sean Marble, who's telling us how it ought to work when it comes to you're buying a house, how you ought to do it to make sure that you're protected in every way. He's a manager at Monarch Title, which is a company all over this country. There are title companies who are just in business to protect you by not only researching the house that you're buying, but also offering insurance so that if something does come up in the future, you're covered. You don't have to end up paying tons of money because somebody comes out and claims that you bought their house or that they have an interest in the property that you bought, and then you got to fight that fight. It does happen, doesn't it?
It happens more often than people think. The overall risk is quite low, but there are instances, especially with new construction, where there could be mechanics liens. There could be
mechanics lien. Explain that, because I'm new now. Yes. I'm just first house.
Yeah.
You're sitting there talking to me about a mechanic. I don't know. I don't have any mechanics in my family.
Yes.
What is that?
So mechanics lien. When someone is building a property, they have contractors doing various work on the property, and if those workers are not paid, they can actually file a lien on the property and stop the work on the property. Or they could have done the work and then placed a mechanics lien after the work has been done because they've not been paid. That can be a cloud against your title.
Mm-hmm.
So you're protected with title insurance in situations like that. We have a vast reach as far as handling title insurance in 44 different states. So
okay.
We can we have a great staff of people that are well versed in different jurisdictions across the country.
If I want to reach you, how do I find? I mean, obviously, I got to find a title company,
yes.
So I could call or email you, or how do we reach out to you, for instance?
Sure. So my number to my office is 202-546-3100,
mm-hmm.
And you can always find great contact information for all of our offices on our website, which is www.monarchtitle.net, and that's MONARCHTITLE.net.
Is it possible to buy a house without title insurance, without?
Yes, it is a buyer choice. It's a buyer option. So it's totally up to you if you want to buy title insurance. And as a company, we'd never push title insurance on an individual, but we always explain to people that your lender requires title insurance. So if the lender is going to be protected, I would, you know, strongly advise you to be protected as well.
Okay.
Because the lender ultimately is going to protect their interest for the loan amount in the property, and the owner's title insurance is going to protect you for your purchase price. Which can be greatly different from your loan amount.
Can you have, percentage-wise, most people do this. I think any realtor is going to say to their client, don't be stupid here.
Yes, yes.
for a few dollars, it's worth the protection.
Yes, it's I'd say 99.5% of people will get title insurance. It's
yeah.
Very rare not to go.
Well, Sean Marble, thank you so much for coming in. What a pleasure to have you here on the program. You know, these are things that we need to know about, and I'll call upon you again to make sure that we're telling folks what they need to know.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me. Thank you very, very much.
Coming up, what about that tax refund and the cyber hackers? Stay with us.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
We're always happy to help you any way that we can. And one of the ways we're going to help you right now is to remind you that tax season is upon us. People are filing taxes. And the deadline for taxes for the Internal Revenue Service is April 15th, 2015. But you can file your taxes well before that. But if you do, you should know a few things before you file electronically, because there are cyber hackers out there who are looking to get your tax refund check. Simple as that. And our job here is to tell you what we know so that you can put that to your good use and to make sure you don't get ripped off. My guest is Jocelyn Baird. She is a Next Advisor content manager. She'll tell you what Next Advisor is. She covers identity theft, security software, personal loans, payday loans, credit repair, diet programs, and photo cards. She's a graduate of Syracuse University and currently resides in the San Francisco Bay Area. And when she's not busy writing, she enjoys reading, petting all the dogs in existence, and drinking lots of coffee. That sounds like somebody out in California. Jocelyn, welcome to Home and Family Finance. How are you?
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. I just imagine with the background that you have that you must really feel ripped when you hear about people being ripped off by hackers when just using a little common sense could save them a lot of money and aggravation. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it is difficult to hear because there are so many simple things that people can do that I think they don't think about. For example, not using public Wi-Fi when filing their taxes is a big thing.
You say not using public Wi-Fi? What does that mean? Come on, I don't know. I don't understand this stuff, Jocelyn, so tell me what you're talking about.
Yeah, so basically, you know, have you ever gone to Starbucks and connected to the internet there? And it's great for checking your email or maybe, you know, looking at a couple of websites you like, but networks like that are not secured. They're free and open for pretty much anyone to use. They're not password protected usually, or if they are, it's not very strong because anyone can use it. So that's the kind of thing that you want to avoid doing your taxes or looking at your bank statements online using.
Wow.
Because
Jocelyn,
anyone
wait a minute.
Could be
Jocelyn, wait a minute. Are you telling me that I can't go to Chipotle, get a cup of coffee there, and put all my life online, and somebody might see that? Is that, you really are saying that it's not the place to do that, right?
I am. Yeah, and people do that because they know that people connect to those networks and don't really think about it. So you never know who's listening in. It's best to do anything of importance using your own home network that you know is protected.
Okay, so that's the better thing to do, one that you know is locked and controlled as opposed to one of these public Wi-Fi places to go, and especially at airports as well. Just don't put your personal business out there is what you seem to be saying.
Yeah, definitely. It's very important not to put your personal business anywhere that you don't know who's looking at it or who might be getting to it.
Is this being done a lot by people? I mean, are people really putting their tax information up on these sites or on these Wi-Fi networks and trying to get that through to the IRS?
I think a lot of people do stuff like that, or they don't protect their own home networks and don't really think about the consequences of not protecting whatever network they're using. It's very popular for people to use their phone for things now, and people don't protect their phones.
Yeah, it's part of the new tech. I mean, I guess it's part of the new way that that we are, you know, able to use this technology. But if I hear you correctly, you're saying you've got to be very careful when you use this technology to make sure that you are protected.
Yeah, it's very important. Anytime you're using any type of technology, when you e-file, you know, it's very easy and convenient to e-file, but you want to make sure that you're using a reputable service as well. You know, we hear the big ones, H&R Block and TurboTax. There are a million other little companies out there, and a lot of them will say, we can get you a better deal. But you really want to make sure that they aren't just a scammer front looking to take your information and your money and then use your identity for tax fraud.
Well, what about identity theft protection services? Can they be helpful?
They can be helpful in a lot of ways. Unfortunately, when it comes to tax identity theft specifically, no one can really help with that as far as preventing it, except for you as far as keeping your information safe. Because the only way to really find out that you have become a victim of tax fraud is when you go to file and you find out, oh, there's already been a return filed in my name. But identity theft protection services are great in general to have, because if your information were to get out there and be misused, they'll let you know. You know, someone had opened up a utilities account 3 states away in your name. Did you do this? And if not, they'll help you go through the correct processes and channels to get that taken care of.
So the question then becomes, I guess, when we get down into the nitty-gritty of this, and we're talking with Jocelyn Baird, who's an expert on this content advisor on how we can protect ourselves. Are online forms safe? And how do I know who's getting my information?
Online forms can be safe, but you really need to know who you're giving your information to, which can be the tricky part. There are a lot of companies that will take data you put in. You know, you go to a website, you enter some information about your name and your email address and maybe your home address, and they will sell that information to third-party companies who then use it for God knows what.
Well, it's just a whole new world out there, and that's why we're talking with Joycelyn Baird, who is an expert on this, what can happen to you. She's giving you information, folks, that can save you not only your money, but a lot of time and hassle. There's nothing worse than to find out your identity has been preempted by someone, that you've been hacked. When we come back, we'll talk more with Joycelyn about what you can do to protect yourself. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry.
We want you to be a part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Or maybe just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
We are talking with Joycelyn Baird about the best ways to protect yourself when you file online for your tax return. Yes, it is convenient. Yes, it is much easier. But just how safe is it? Joycelyn has given us some indication. First of all, let's just eliminate one aspect of this. Don't go to Starbucks to do your taxes, folks. Just don't do it. Stay in your house where you know you've got a private website that is not public, that belongs to you, that nobody else can get in on, at least you don't think they can, and you improve your odds tremendously. So is that the most – what other ways can I be safe when filling out online forms, Joycelyn?
Well, one of the best things, like I was saying earlier, is to do your research on who you're using. You know, if you're going to do the e-file – there are plenty of websites like H&R Block or TurboTax, which I've mentioned before, that have been vetted and, you know, they are legitimate services that do good work. But if you're going to use something else, just do your research on the company. Make sure that it's a legitimate company, or a quick Google search on a company can give you a wealth of information. It's also important to look at the URL for the website that you're visiting. Mm-hmm. Make sure everything is spelled correctly, and also look for at the start of the URL, you want it to say HTTPS. Most websites you'll see will be HTTP. The S stands for secure, and it means the website encrypts its data to help make it more difficult for hackers to gain access. So anytime you're using anything like tax filing or your bank or anything else secure, you want to make sure to look for that. A lot of browsers will also change color. They'll change to green, and you can look at the security certificates. These are just things that you can do to make sure that you're using a good website in the first place.
Okay, then let me ask you this question, because obviously it's more than just a gentle notion here to make sure you're protected. Are there any places I can go to get information that tell me what you're saying? That, like, does Next Advisor, can I go there and find out how to protect myself?
Yes, you can. NextAdvisor.com, we perform reviews and comparisons of all these services in a variety of categories. And we tell you, this company, this is what they do good. This is what they might not do as well. Here's where you're going to get the best for your money. Here's where you're going to get the best customer service. So we compare all the top websites.
Oh, that's great. How much does that cost me, if anything?
It costs you nothing to read our reviews. Our website is totally free. All of our information is available straight away. If you visit our website, it's right there for you.
Okay, and tell me again. Give me the website address so I know where to go.
It's nextadvisor.com.
Okay, next, N-E-X-T, folks, advisor.com. That's mm-hmm. where you can go. The information is there. Look, there's only the only thing that's going to keep you from getting ripped off is you. You have to be the person that cares enough to say, wait a minute, I'm not just going to put my dollars out here on the line and let somebody grab and take my money. And it's just simple as go to the website. Read through what you need to do. Listen to what Joycelyn is saying to you as it relates to protecting yourself, and you've got a good chance that you're going to get through the process. And you're not going to get your money stolen by somebody who will do it in a skinny minute if you let them know the information that they need to know. An interesting question came up as we prepared for this, and perhaps you can answer it. Am I safer? Am I safer working from my computer than I would be from my smartphone? Or does it make a difference, Joycelyn?
It It really depends on the connection you're using, as well as the, you know, what security measures you've put in place. There are currently apps for smartphones that work like security software for your computer. A lot of people don't know that those exist or don't think about putting them on their phones, but it's a good idea. These apps will tell you, they're usually from the companies like Norton or McAfee, and they'll tell you, you know, this is this application you're trying to download is unsafe, or mm-hmm. you're connected to an unsecure network. It gives you an extra layer of protection. So if you're going to be using your mobile phone for a variety of different things, it's a good idea to consider something like that.
Okay, would you use a mobile phone at any time to file your taxes, or would you, even if you knew the website was secure, would you feel comfortable doing it? I'm trying to let people know what the level is. I guess you should take a minute to decide whether it's worth the risk, right?
Yeah. I haven't actually considered filing by phone. Usually I do it by my computer just because it's easier with all the forms I have to access. But I suppose it's not any less safe on your phone if you're connected to a secure network while you're doing it, I would say.
Oh, what about offline? Being careful there is equally important, right?
Definitely. If you're mailing in a paper form, you're definitely going to want to make sure that you use certified mail when you go to send that into the IRS. Certified mail will ensure that your mail gets to where it's supposed to be going, and there's a signature required, so you will know for sure that it wasn't intercepted by some scammer who, you know, took your information and filed a fraudulent tax report in your name.
And again, folks, what Jocelyn is talking about is happening every day to someone out there. Don't you be the person that gets caught in this, because it is a hassle. It's a loss of your money and time, and you just don't want to be involved with it. You know, Jocelyn, I it's amazing. I think all of this technology is great. But it does require a different level of sophistication to deal with it, doesn't it?
Yeah, in some ways. I think it can be easier, but it definitely takes a lot of kind of changing your way of thinking about how you do things. It feels safer sometimes to do things offline than online, just because there's so much extra security you have to learn to do things safely online.
Yeah, and the point that you make there is you always have the option, folks. Yeah, you might want to be with it and, you know, do stuff online, and that's cool. That's great. Why not? But remember, if there's any question that you have about the safety of doing it online, go offline. Certify the letter. Do it the old-fashioned way and keep your old-fashioned money in your pocket. We'll be right back with more. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. Listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and my guest is Jocelyn Baird. She is a Next Advisor content manager who covers identity theft, security software, and a lot of other things. But this graduate of Syracuse University has just spent the last 10 minutes or so telling you what to look out for and how to avoid being a victim, a ripoff victim by somebody in the cyber world who's ripping you off. But let's suppose, Jocelyn, God forbid, that despite your best warnings and everything that we've talked about, somebody has, in fact, been ripped off in some form or fashion. Now the question is, what do they do?
It depends a lot on the type of ripoff that how your identity has been stolen. If you find out that you've been a victim of tax fraud, which you'll usually find out through the IRS or through your state government when you try to file, what you want to do is you want to report it as soon as possible to the IRS. You also want to report your identity theft to the FTC, and you want to put a freeze on your credit file, because if someone filed a tax return using your information, that means that your Social Security number is probably out there being used. And so you want to freeze your credit with three main bureaus, which will prevent any more fraud from happening in your name.
Anything else you should do?
Basically, I would also suggest, you know, if you're not already using an identity theft protection service, to get signed up with one, just because the general hassle of the process to talk to creditors and get your credit cleaned up, you know, if someone's been opening utilities accounts in your name, it's a lot of hassle. It's a lot of paperwork, and having someone on your side to help you fill out that paperwork, help you make those phone calls is really helpful.
Someone like who? Who are you suggesting you should use?
In our reviews, we typically suggest Identity Guard is a really good service, or Trusted ID.
Okay.
Both of these services not only provide a ton of monitoring of your information, but if you have a problem, they're really good about helping you to restore your name and restore your credit.
Are they the same as an agency that I hear advertised a lot called LifeLock? Are those the same things, or no, are those different?
They are the same thing. We do review LifeLock as well. They don't rank as high, but what we try to do with all of our reviews on our website is to tell you, you know, the good about every service and what you're going to get. So LifeLock is, you know, a good option for some people.
Okay. And do they all cost about the same for their service?
It varies. Most services, though, will cost about $20 a month or less, which really for, you know, the sanctity of your sanity as far as protecting your identity, it's that's not too much. That's like five Starbucks.
Well, it's so important. We can laugh about it because it's sometimes so ironic. I mean, now they're actually getting 10,000 calls a week from these scammers who are calling people and saying you owe us money. And we're going to put you in jail. This is the IRS. They have a 202 number, so it looks like it's coming from Washington. And they have a little bit of information. And Jocelyn, they're making lots of money, and people are actually going to the bank and taking money out and putting it in cards and giving them the number so that they can. What's wrong with people here? I mean, there is no solution for stupidity. I mean, that's just stupid.
No,
you know,
there's not. But I think it's a matter of just being suspicious all the time. You know, if you get a phone call, even if it scares you, even if they say, you know, we're the IRS, we're the FBI, we're going to knock down your door. First of all, it's very important to know that the IRS does not contact people by phone. They don't contact people by phone or by email. They send out letters through the standard postal mail. So if you get a phone call like that, even if you think it might be legitimate, whether it's from, you know, someone claiming to be from the IRS or even your doctor's office, if you're suspicious, ask as many questions as possible. Scammers hate answering lots of questions.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to hang up and get the number from a website or a business card or a piece of mail and call back and ask, is this actually an issue? Do I need to give you money? What's going on?
All right. Wonderful stuff, Jocelyn. We appreciate you being with us. Thank you so much for giving us the tips that may save us a lot of money. We appreciate your time. Come back and see us again soon, would you please?
Yeah, definitely. It was really great. Thank you for having me.
Jocelyn Baird, Next Advisor Content Manager. Go there if you want more information. It's been a pleasure being with you. Thanks so much for taking time to join us. We hope we've said something or told you something that might make your life a lot more profitable and a lot easier to live. That's what it's all about. Be financially fit. Until we see you next week. This is Paul Berry. Have a good day.